It was probably the third cocktail that did the trick. It was hard for Eduardo to tell for sure, because the three drinks had come in such rapid succession. The empty plastic cups were now stacked accordion style on the windowsill behind him, that he hadn't been able to gauge for certain when the change had occurred. But there was no denying it now. The evidence was all over him. The pleasantly warm flush to his normally sallow cheeks, the relaxed, almost rubbery way he leaned against the window, a stark contrast to his usual calcified, if slightly hunched, posture, and most important of all, the easy smile on his face, something he'd practiced unsuccessfully in the mirror for 2 hours before he'd left his dorm room that evening. No doubt at all, the alcohol had taken effect, and Eduardo wasn't scared anymore. At the very least, he was no longer overwhelmed with the intense urge to get the fuck out of there. To be sure, the room in front of him was intimidating. The immense crystal chandelier hanging from the arched cathedral ceiling. The thick red velvet carpeting that seemed to bleed right out of the regal mahogany walls. The meandering bifurcated staircase that snaked up toward the storied, ultra-secret catacombed upper floors. Even the window panes behind Eduardo's head seemed treacherous, lit from behind by the flickering anger of a bonfire consuming most of the narrow courtyard outside, twists of flame licking at the ancient pockmarked glass. This was a terrifying place, especially for a kid like Eduardo. He hadn't grown up poor. He'd spent most of his childhood being shuttled between upper-middle-class communities in Brazil and Miami before matriculating at Harvard, but he was a complete stranger to the sort of old-world opulence this room represented. Even through the booze, Eduardo could feel the insecurities rumbling deep down in the pit of his stomach. He felt like a freshman all over again, stepping into Harvard Yard for the first time, wondering what the hell he was doing there, wondering how he could possibly belong in a place like that. How could he possibly belong in a place like this? He shifted against the sill, scanning the crowd of young men that filled most of the cavernous room. A mob, really, bunched together around the pair of makeshift bars that had been set up specifically for the event. The bars themselves were fairly shoddy, wooden tables that were little more than slabs, starkly out of character in such an austere setting. But nobody noticed, because the bars were staffed by the only girls in the room, matching bust-heavy blondes and low-cut black tops, brought in from one of the local all-female colleges to cater to the mob of young men. The mob, in many ways, was even more frightening than the building itself. Eduardo couldn't tell for sure, but he guessed there had to be about 200 of them, all male, all dressed in similar dark blazers and equally dark slacks. Sophomores, mostly. A mix of races, but there was something very similar about all the faces. The smiles that seemed so much easier than Eduardo's, the confidence in those 200 pairs of eyes. These kids weren't used to having to prove themselves. They belonged. For most of them, this party, this place, was just a formality. Eduardo took a deep breath, wincing slightly at the bitter tinge to the air. The ash from the bonfire outside was making its way through the window panes, but he didn't move away from his perch against the sill. Not yet. He wasn't ready yet. Instead, he let his attention settle on the group of blazers closest to him, four kids of medium build. He didn't recognize any of them from his classes. Two of the kids were blonde and preppy-looking, like they'd just stepped off a train from Connecticut. The third was Asian and seemed a little older, but it was hard to tell for sure. The fourth, however, African-American and very polished-looking, from his grin to his perfectly coiffed hair, was definitely a senior. Eduardo felt his back stiffen, and he glanced toward the black kid's tie. The color of the material was all the verification Eduardo needed. The kid was a senior, and it was time for Eduardo to make his move. Eduardo straightened his shoulders and pushed off of the sill. He nodded at the two Connecticut kids and the Asian, but his attention remained focused on the older kid and his solid, black, uniquely decorated tie. Eduardo Saverin. Eduardo introduced himself, vigorously shaking the kid's hand. Great to meet you. The kid responded with his own name, Darren something, which Eduardo filed away in the back of his memory. The kid's name didn't really matter. The tie alone told him everything he needed to know. The purpose of this entire evening lay in the little white birds that speckled the solid black material. The tie designated him as a member of the Phoenix SK. He was one of 20 or so hosts of the evening's affair, who were scattered among the 200 sophomore men. Saverin, you're the one with the hedge fund, right? Eduardo blushed, but inside he was thrilled that the Phoenix member recognized his name. It was a bit of an exaggeration. He didn't have a hedge fund. He'd simply made some money investing with his brother during his sophomore summer, but he wasn't going to correct the mistake. If the Phoenix members were talking about him, if somehow they were impressed by what they'd heard, well, maybe he had a chance. It was a heady thought, and Eduardo's heart started to beat a little harder as he tried to spread just the right amount of bullshit to keep the senior interested. More than any test he'd taken freshman or sophomore year, this moment was going to define his future. Eduardo knew what it would mean to gain entrance to the Phoenix, for his social status during the last 2 years of college, and for his future, whatever future he chose to chase. Like the secret societies at Yale that had gotten so much press over the years, the final clubs were the barely kept secret soul of campus life at Harvard. Housed in centuries-old mansions spread out across Cambridge, the 8 all-male clubs had nurtured generations of world leaders, financial giants, and power brokers. Almost as important, membership in one of the 8 clubs granted an instant social identity. Each of the clubs had a different personality, from the ultra-exclusive Porcellian, the oldest club on campus, whose members had names like Roosevelt and Rockefeller, to the prepped-out Fly Club, which had spawned 2 presidents and a handful of billionaires. Each of the clubs had its own distinct and instantly defining power.